Everyone, to another episode of Business Way Outside the Box, sponsored by PR Works. I am Steve Dubin, your host. PR Works specializes in companies that are way outside the box. We encourage our listeners to contact us if they feel they know of a business that's unusual in any way. We'd like to potentially consider them as future guests. Today, we have Lakefront living with us, and we will be talking about specifically the unusual nature of selling only lakefront property. And with us today, we have the two owners of Lakefront Living, Scott Frierickson and Chris Mosier. And Scott started the franchise with Chris several years back. Prior to that, he had started the concept of selling only lakefront living in Massachusetts itself and saw the success of that as a singular direct way for consumers to discern only the details of the house directly on the lake and streamline their process and also save the realtor some time as well. And it became a successful formula. And now they've grown to a handful of franchisees who are duplicating that formula. And with that, I open the microphone to our guests. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
So let me start with you, Scott. As the founder, you came from corporate America. You're probably happy to escape, but what gave you the idea to sell only lakefront property?
Well, it's been in my blood for some time. So I was born and raised on a lake here in Mansfield, Massachusetts. And, you know, I think like everybody else, once you live on a lake for a little while, it's hard not to live on a lake anymore. So I think when I got into real estate, I said, you know, let's just try focusing on this niche and see what happens.
Okay. And how long have you lived on a lake yourself?
My whole life. So the only time I didn't was I bought my first house I bought when I was 23, and it was across the street from the lake, so I could see it, but I couldn't use it, which was very frustrating. So I worked that was 10-year stretch. Other than that, I've been on the water my whole life.
Okay, great. And Chris, first tell us how you met up with Scott and formed a partnership.
Yeah, so I was a realtor for many years and just did residential, normal residential. And then my husband and I had owned a lake home about an hour from our house. It was a second home for us. Just a little cottage on the lake. And my husband Bruce and I were sitting on the dock one day and I'm like, you know what? I think I just want to sell lake homes. It was so much fun just taking friends and people around on the boat wearing flip-flops and shorts, have a glass of wine or a beer and selling lake homes. And I just loved the lake life and loved doing that. So I'm in Ohio. I'm an hour from my lake house. Well, when I started taking people out, they wanted to see other lakes in Ohio and they wanted to be within 2 hours of I'm in the Columbus area. So we ended up going all over the place, an hour each way to all these lakes. And I decided to call myself Central Ohio's Lakefront Specialist. That took off like no one's business. And I thought we have something here. People that are in the market for a lake home don't want to sort through realtor.com and Zillow and everywhere, hoping they can just stumble upon a lake house. And I wanted to go bigger with this. I had the idea of, you know, this needs to be a national kind of a thing. It doesn't exist because every state has lakes. So I started looking around and I stumbled across Scott and his website and asked him if he was sold franchises. And he said, I've always thought about it, but so we got to talking and that's how it all started.
Okay. And so Scott, you had mentioned to me once, there are two kinds of people, right?
Those who live on lakes and those who don't. for right. those who want to.
That's right. So tell me, those who want to, what kind of activity do you see nationally to your website for people who are either dreaming or very serious about making that kind of decision?
Well, you know, lakefront living is one of those things where I think people do dream about it for a while. They probably have the same experience that I did. You know, they grew up visiting a grandfather who had a lakefront home or vacationed on homes as a kid, and that's always in the back of their mind. So when lakefrontliving.com started, I think we get a lot of those, you know, dreamers who come to the site and just want to see lakefront property. And that's really where our site came in handy. So there's 100,000 visitors a month that just come there and dream about lakefront living and lakefront homes.
Okay. And so some of your franchisees, you are in how many states now?
We're in nine states.
Nine states. And can you list those, please?
Sure. So there's four New England states, which is Mass, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and New Hampshire. And Chris has got all of Ohio. And then we're also in Missouri, Arkansas, Tennessee, and Alabama.
Great. Okay. And so, and typically the way you sell franchise territories are you're encouraging people to take the whole state.
Yeah. Chris and I both worked for other big box franchises in real estate before. And we said, we want to do things a lot different. So instead of flooding an area with, you know, several offices of one company, which always seemed a little crazy to us because you're competing with your own company, we said, you know, let's open up the market that these lakefront agents are in to a big an area as possible. And many times that's the entire state.
Okay. And Chris, can you tell us a little bit about sort of the person who's drawn to the franchise partnership that you offer as opposed to the consumer? What kind of realtor is really drawn to that kind of differentiation?
Yeah, you know, I think, and I just spoke with some people this morning, they have that passion for the lake life and lake homes, and they want to dominate their lake. That's a big one. And they're just not standing out apart from their competition. I think the other big pain point that I really hear with a lot of people is they're usually a sales agent within a brokerage and they have nothing to sell one day. Their company, all the work, they work so hard and their business runs them. They don't run their business, as well as they're working so hard. And at the end of the day, when it comes to retirement one day, what are they going to sell? Their database? They don't own anything that they can resell one day. So I think those are the main, there's a lot more pain points that people have that that we end up finding out. But those are the major reasons, I think, that we differentiate ourselves, because when we come into a lake, it was great. One of the lakes here in Ohio, Candlewood Lake, tiny little community, darling lake. And there was one realtor that lived there that she got most of the business, but we had a new agent come on and he went in there with Lakefront Living and has just knocked it out of the park and runs that lake. So, and it's nice now, it's a name where once it gets in there and the national recognition and everything, it just really helps take over at a lake. And I think that really differentiates us beyond just everybody, just another Remax or Century 21 or Howard Hanna, something like that.
Okay. And Scott, could you describe that a little further? Is there other either personality traits or business focus that draws people to your organization?
Well, I think our first partner we pulled in was Annie and Jesse Falstich from Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri. And I think, you know, just talking about them, they're kind of the ideal candidate. You know, Annie was already working for a boutique agency. And I think she felt that she could do more with the lakefront business than she was doing there. So she really wanted to have you know, somebody come in that already had the systems in place for her to work with, but be, you know, on Lake of the Ozarks, for example, I think there's 450 other agents that work that lake. So how do you stand out from the crowd? And she wanted to stand out. And so by implementing the systems we have, she was able to do that and gain a really good market share of that business out there. And so she was, they're very, you know, in terms of an ideal candidate, they're very driven. They really adopted this passion for the lakefront property. They adopted our systems very quickly. In fact, even I added a lot of substance to our systems over the years. So, you know, and we consider them family like we do all of our partners out there. So, you know, she's kind of the ideal candidate that we're looking for. And I think anybody who falls into that kind of demographic would work for us.
You know,
Chris, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, sorry to interrupt you. Scott and I go and we actually go to the lakes and meet the franchisees before we sign them on. And with Annie and Jesse in Lake of the Ozarks, we've become such good friends with them that we've gone there for a couple of times just to hang out for a few days. Have you been to Lake of the Ozarks? Like, not the movie, but the actual lake?
No, as a matter of fact, I was gonna say, I would assume the hit Netflix series has really promoted a lot of interest in the Lake of the Ozarks, and there must be landmarks as part of a tourist tour to see from the series.
We actually thought we saw the trailers at Annie. We said that has to be the lot that Ruthie from Ozarks. Right. Lives in, but that's all I knew about Lake of the Ozarks, really. I'm in Ohio, I'm not going there, but oh my gosh, you talk about a fun lake. And this lake, yachts, huge yachts all over the place. And they have the Budweiser, was it the Miss Budweiser, Scott? What is it that they have there? A Miss Budweiser contest?
They get the shootout, which is a huge event at Lake of the Ozarks. So
it's like the Audubon for boats. It's speed and everybody ties up their boats. You don't have to know each other. You just tie up your boats in a huge long line. And these, are they cigarette boats? What are those called? Cigarette. Yeah. I don't know. I'm on a pontoon size lake. So that's all I know is pontoons. But these things go so fast just down and everybody cheers them on, or I don't know. It's just fun. Lots of bars and restaurants. It's a great lake.
Well, so while we're talking about the Hollywood connection, so tell us a little bit about how you guys have been among the go-to sources to find shooting locations for Hollywood products.
Well, I think what happens is we took a little different approach with the website. So it defines every lake that we cover. So I think there's 2,700 lakes on there right now. And because of that, it's become a resource for whether that's HGTV's, you know, bargain hunt show trying to find buyers, or whether it's, you know, Hollywood producers trying to find film locations for future movie sites. It's become kind of a resource for those kind of things. So again, it's another, I guess, advantage of specialization, right? So, you know, you specialize in something and people seek you out for that kind of knowledge. And my site has presented that to them. And we've been lucky to be able to be part of a couple of those kind of events.
And they're kind enough to give you credit, but not payment. There's glory.
Yeah.
But we get a tiny little payment. I've done, my team, we've done four episodes, three of which have aired. And what was neat about that, what really comes in now, is I have this relationship with the producers that I'm, like, hey, I just got this new listing, guys, or I got this buyer that's perfect. Are we ready to shoot again or what? And that's how it's a neat relationship that's going. But now they'll call us, like they wanted to do an actual show for selling of lake homes and redoing before and after of lake homes, and ended up not getting picked up because of budgets. But it's been neat to, I've been called several times for movie. Haven't seen them in there yet, but we keep being contacted. So it's nice to know that we're a go-to for them.
Yeah. Okay. And so you talk about sort of, almost 3,000 lakes that you've done research on and that information is available on your website, and that's one of the difference makers. What kind of information is there that's of value to the buyer?
Well, we always say, you know, buyers aren't just buying a house, they're buying a lake. And so the lake details become really important on how they're going to live that lake life. And so there's everything on there from obviously stuff like the size of the lake and the depth, but also more importantly, you know, the recreational activities that go on there or don't go on there, restaurants that might be on the lake, water quality, water height, and, you know, dam control, that kind of stuff. Weed control, especially here in the Northeast, that's a big deal. There's a lot of non-native weeds on these lakes out here. So all those factors kind of come into play, and we try to list as many of those as we can with links to stuff like lake associations or Facebook pages, you know, whatever that lake will provide, you know, we'll put it up there.
Okay. And how has the pandemic and the growth of remote working, the great resignation, the many different societal shifts that have come with in the last several years, how has that impacted on anywhere from first home buyers who want to live on a lake to second home buyers who want to have some place to escape?
Yeah, I'll tell you, at the lake where I have my lake house, it was crazy up until COVID. I would say 75% of them, it was second homeowners. Then a majority of them ended up working out of the house and now living up there full time and selling their other home. So it's kind of taken a 180 degree turn. And it also varies by state, because in Ohio, most lakes are built out in a cornfield somewhere or somewhere away, and they're a destination. Whereas where Scott's at and in Tennessee, even it's a lot of full time. Well, no, Tennessee is the second home, also retire more in retirement, but Scott's, you know, it's full time. So it kind of just dependent on, you know, is the lake a resort destination or is it near a major town? And that's a lot of full time people. But I'll tell you the one thing I also noticed when I started out, when all of this back in 08, when the market crashed, that it was unbelievable how people are like, I'm done with the market. I'm putting my money in real estate and I might as well be somewhere where I want to, you know, spend my time at. And a lot of the clients that we work with, you know, they're so busy working that they don't want to go to a vacation home in Florida or somewhere to fly down there. And then with COVID and everything, they want a vacation home now that's close to home. So it's really impacted the demand.
Okay. And you know, I've heard Gen X and other generations say, all we need is oxygen and a Wi-Fi signal. Right. Mm-hmm. So is that sometimes a challenge with remote lakes of getting a Wi-Fi signal? Have you had that sort of question?
We get it a lot. I think we're pretty lucky here in the Northeast that just about anywhere we go, we're pretty well covered. But that's one of the things we talked about in our seminar last Sunday was that, you know, one of the questions you need to ask the neighbors is how good is the coverage there? Because, you know, there's more and more Americans working from home. And if they can work from home, they might as well be on a lake. And sure. So all they care about, you're right, is their Wi-Fi coverage there and how good is it?
I think our most remote lake, they finally got the fiber optic tower or whatever it is. I'm so ignorant of all that stuff. But even the most remote in Ohio, it's a must. So it's really right. Not a problem anymore. I think they've found their way around that.
Okay. And Chris, I've heard you say that, you know, one of the wonderful benefits of having a lake home sort of comes to you as you see it, as you see your lifestyle change, that your kids and your family gravitate to that property. And it becomes the place where people gather and where memories are made. Can you talk a little bit about your own kids and sort of their patterns?
Yeah, it was great. When we bought our lake house, our kids were 7, 8, and 9. And at that age, they were in sports, but it didn't really matter if they would miss a practice here or there until we hit high school. So that was a different, That was a different scene. You cannot miss, you know, practices or anything in high school. And, but we were close enough that if we, even if we drove home for a practice, whatever, we could go right back. It wasn't too much of a pain. So that's one nice thing about making sure your distance. If you have younger kids thinking about in high school, it's going to change a little bit. And, but the best part always is the kids' friends. Every summer, all the kids, all of their friends. In fact, we have so many people spending the night, but it was a blast. And they just always wanted to be there. They went to the Mosher's Lake House for the weekend or for a week in the summer. And the parents would come. And you know what was nice about that is just relaxing and hanging out with our kids and their friends. This is funny. My daughter, she's going to be a bridesmaid for her best friend. And at the wedding shower this past weekend, I was one that knew all the questions of who knows Michaela the best. Out of everyone in the whole bridal shower, I knew her the best because I've spent every summer with this kid at our house, and it's my daughter's friend. So it was neat to see the relationships that formed with all their friends and their friends' parents. And now our kids, oh my gosh, when we talk about where we're going to retire, because we're hitting that age, you know, where do we want to live at? It's, you're not selling the lake house. That's staying in the family. And that's all there is to it. That's the go-to. The whole family gets there at least once a year because people are all over the country now and full-time jobs are all in their late 20s. And so it's fabric of our family. And it was fabric with their friendships, with their friends growing up for us.
Great. Thank
you. That was a good one. I like that. Fabric for the family.
That just came out of here. You better trademark that fast.
Yeah, I'm writing that one down right now.
And Scott, how about, I mean, you have a great concept. It's gotten real traction. But have there been some major bumps in the road as you sort of built out this concept on a more national basis?
Well, I can't think of any bumps other than, you know, I think I'm one of those people that believes that people come in and out of your life for a certain reason at a certain time. And I think we've been so fortunate with people that have come into our business as partners. They just seem to be perfect for when they came in and who they are. So, you know, if there's a bump, it's probably that things aren't happening as fast as maybe we would like them to. But at the same time, we have just, I think, the ideal partners right now. And I think it's just going the way it's supposed to be going.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I ask this of both of you, if you were to have a partner / franchisee listen to this podcast and want to reach out, what are you really looking for somebody to partner with you? What would you hope their characteristics are and their background?
Well, as Chris said, I think it all starts with the passion for the lakefront lifestyle. So, you know, I always felt we could teach anybody our systems, but we can't teach them that. So if they don't have that coming in, then that's going to be difficult. But, you know, if they're passionate for the lakefront lifestyle and they really want to stand out in their market, and they have their license currently and been with them, you know, the current agent for a couple of years, those are the kind of people we want to talk to. And they can go to lakefrontfranchise.com and see if their territory is available and connect with us that way.
I think also, on top of that's a must, having the desire for that passion for lakefront, but also someone who has that entrepreneur spirit and doesn't let fear keep them down. It was really hard for me. I was just a sales agent. I had to get my broker license, and then the thought of running everything on my own, it intimidated me. And I was so wrong about all of it, because once I really realized all I had to do, it was truly easy. And I think that's one thing with franchisees, when we talk to them, the fear comes in your brain and just makes you think, I can't run a franchise. I can't do this. I don't want to manage people. But the way our systems are and everything, it makes it so easy. So I think as someone who has that spirit of, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to partner with these guys and do it, versus fear-based motivation or lack of motivation, I should say, if that makes sense.
All right. And then, you know, my last question really is, I think that most people erroneously think things are more expensive and unattainable than they really are. Scott, can you describe even sort of the general cost of joining your organization?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we didn't want the cost of the franchise to be a barrier to entry for anyone. So we kept the initial franchise cost at $25,000, which obviously is a one-time fee. And then our royalty fees are pretty much in line with the industry, which are 6%.
Okay. And is there a licensing period of time that is associated with the initial investment?
So the initial license is 10 years, and then there's an optional 2 10-year periods after that.
Okay, great. Well, it sounds like you guys have a tiger by the tail. I appreciate your time today. Again, can you give us the best place to find more details about your organization?
Yeah, they can go to lakefrontfranchise.com or Lakefront Realty Franchise. Either one gets you there. And there's a lot more information there that they can find.
All right. Well, thank you, Scott and Chris. This has been fun. I think listeners will find it to be useful, and it probably will motivate some people to take a new adventure in their life as well. I am Steve Dubin, your host for Business Way Outside the Box. Thanks for joining us. And again, if you know of a business that is way outside the box, please let me know about it, and we will consider them for a future episode.